I've been kind of having a problem with that clock. Well, I got it together tonight. See, two things is, y'all went on faster time. And, of course, up in the Tennessee area, we're slower than y'all are. And I had kind of get used to the clock back there. Good to see all of that, those that are here, and a blessing to see this number tonight. And we have enjoyed our stay here at the congregation, the church, and God has been good, so good to us. He has blessed us with a group of people who seemingly cheers for the Word of God. And we appreciate your interest in encouraging each other. I've been bringing some lessons that I thought that might help. We've been having some preachers from down in the Alabama and Arkansas area, up in our part of the country, over at the Mount Leo Church on the second and fourth Monday of the month, from the month of September to the month of April. All of us preachers, don't have to be a preacher, elders and preachers, and we have a few women who come. It's a Bible study, not just a regular Bible study, to teach brethren, preachers, elders, and deacons, and young women in the church how to be good stewards in the Lord's church. And we really enjoy that. We have some, like I said, we have some of the best teachers supposed to be coming out of the area that surrounds us. I don't know, y'all know of Brother Jimmy Clark, who has appeared some on television. He's one of our teachers. Brother Woodson Wilson, who is another one of our teachers in that class. And they really bring it down, just break it down and explain, and we get to ask questions, and we really enjoy. I tell you, it's just a blessing to be able to attend something of that nature. It will encourage us. Tonight, being the last night, we'll try to mix up the lesson that we've already brought to bring it together. I'm here to edify, to strengthen, to encourage and lift up the church. Now, let me say it, I'd be going back home in the morning. If the Lord's will, we desire your prayer that I might get home safe and sound. We'd be praying for you to keep on working for the Lord. We went out today to eat over at the steakhouse. Enjoyed it. We got some folks around here who like to eat. Amen. Not going to call any names. But anyway, and you got the right preacher so he can keep it with you. We have certainly enjoyed, and we want to thank all those homes who invited us and all those brethren who have taken us out to different places to feed us and make us feel at home, showing your love for a brother in the Lord. I hope that when I leave, that my stay and my teaching have not been in vain. We are only here Not because of what I think, what I feel, or what I can come up with. I'm here to bring the Word of God. Let the Word direct our path. You see, I believe that sometimes people like us, men like us, women like you all, get too much involved in ourselves and not involved in the Word of God. You see, when we leave God out, we have that tendency to do whatever we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, and how much we want to do it. But see, God constrains us. Do you know what I mean? He constrains us through and by the Word of God. If God didn't say it, don't make it a law. Now, I may be a little bit touchy, but if God didn't say it, don't make it a law. Now, I know there are folks in the church who don't want to kind of go along with that. But see, we have enough problems trying to keep the religious part of God's church going. Huh? Oh, y'all looking at me real strange. Get your book. Now you already got it. Let's go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter is 5. And I want you to just take a look at that and see what we can come up with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to start this off myself. When Jesus says in the book of Matthew, upon this rock I will build my church. He was telling the people and those who were around that he was going to set up an institution called the church. And everybody that would believe the preaching of the Word of God would be qualified to be added to the Lord's church. Didn't say join now. Said added. To the Lord. See, you can't join the Lord's church. Let me say that again. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, that's something else we want to take a little look at. What does the word favor mean? It means that we're in good standing. Are you listening? With each other. You got to be in good standing with folks around you before they will listen most of the time to the Word of God. Even after people obey the Word, there has to be something that will keep us motivated, keep our minds on the right track. They have to see something in each other for us to learn to work together. Now, like I say now, I do a lot of this, do a lot of it, different places to go. Now the church, God fixed it, set it up to his own good pleasure. He knew what he was doing. When this book was written, it was written by the inspiration of God. And this book does not give us anything that will tear up the Lord's church for the fun of it. Now, I'm going to say that again. Just for the fun of it. Now, the Word of God instructs us how to live. Is that not right? So if God tells us how to live, we better be at the business of how to serve God and live according to the word of truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. Why is it so important that I would listen to the truth of the Word of God, because it's going to tell me what I can be, what I ought to be, and what I need to be. We don't know how to behave ourselves. Somebody said, what you mad about? I ain't mad, I just look that way. Amen. We don't know how to behave ourselves. It's not in man that walketh, Brother Grant, to direct his own steps. We need some guidance, Brother Simmons. We need some guidance, Brother George. I can't do it my way and your way. It's got to be God's way or no way. Amen. So God gave this book to us. Search the Scriptures. That's what we need to do. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify, which talks about, which reveals me through the Word of God, Jesus says. Now, if you want to know anything about God, the church, the heaven above, hell below, you go to the book. Isn't that right? Now, you can talk about a lot of other things, but it ain't going to be God's way. You can't go to true confession and read about God. Amen. If you do, it's going to be a false statement. Is that not right? You can't go to the encyclopedia and read about God in a very fair sense. His Word, the Word of God might be mentioned in there, but it's not the book that they directed to send us to heaven. God's Word is right. So we need to understand that in order to please God, this book directs our steps, our words, our way, our thinking, our thoughts, our every way of life. This book does it. So when something goes wrong, either two things. You don't know no better, or you don't care. Amen. Now somebody said, Brother George, did you preach like this at home? Go ask them. I don't have to respect a person when I preach the Word of God. That includes George. If I have to hit George, I beat him with a ball bat. But I ain't going to change the Word to suit me or nobody else. The Word of God is right, regardless what we think about it. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know my manner of teaching. About verse 12, somebody, whoever gets it first. You don't? Oh, that's being together, brother. I wish the whole church all the time was together like that. Amen. I would to God. You know, John said, he said, it just does him so good when he sees the church acting right with each other. Amen. Now, what do you say, brother? Which one going to read? Now they're waiting on each other. Now, see? Amen. Amen. We beseech you. We beg you, brethren, as a plea to the members of the Lord's church. We beseech you. We beg you, brethren. Now, just stop right there just a moment. I want to say this. Brethren, God put men in charge of His Word. Amen. Now, God expects those men to carry His Word according to His book. Amen. And let me say this. Everybody is not in charge. Should I turn my back or not? Everybody's not in charge. Amen. Now, let me show you something. In the book of Acts chapter 6, where they had a problem with the widows. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that came up a controversy thing over about the widow being neglected. They thought the preachers ought to get down there And you know how we do sometimes. Get this thing done and take care of the widow now. We don't have time to serve tables. What you need to do, look out among yourselves. 7 men. And I've often wondered about this, y'all. I be as short as I can, as fair as I can. Been all through all this teaching that we go through, especially at home and up in our area. Like I said, we from September to April. I've often wondered. Now y'all can help me out if when I get down, if you want me to. If I don't agree with it, you'll never know it. Amen. Because it don't matter. I know what I'm supposed to do from the book. If I miss the mark, I know that I done it. Not because, you see, I know, I read that book. If I do bad and wrong, I know where my destination is going to be. Huh? I'm going to be lost. Because George know better. Now, I don't like to say stuff like this tonight, Brother Lonnie, but I'm going to say it. George know better. Sometimes we act as if we don't know better. And then we do know better, then we won't follow the will of God. You see, God don't care who we are. You can live in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, New York, California. It don't make no difference. His word still has authority. All authority. Where? In heaven and in earth. Given unto me. God has that authority. Is that not right? So I'm saying to the church tonight to comply all these lessons again. That it takes the whole church to make the church move. Just like it takes a whole community to raise our kids. Oh, y'all looking at me strange, but I stand here and I back it up with the word of God. When Paul said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's what we're supposed to do. And it don't matter who it is. There ought not be no favoritism when it comes to preaching the word of God. Amen. So God set this, and he's looking down. And when in Acts chapter 6, when the brother said, find some folk who are capable. They look among the church. Begin to size up and pick out. Huh? And then they found 7. 7 men. I've often sometimes wondered, and we asked this in the class, even though we've been preaching a long time, resto preacher, we have a bunch of preachers around in that area up in McMinnville. And if I tell you right now, in the one county, that's what county I live in the one county ever, it's a big county, there are 53 congregations. Now, I say that to let you know what's going on. We've done a history about your thing. We wrote a book. There's a book that was put out by all the congregations in Warren County. Amen. But some of them kind of left the mark. You know what I'm saying? And you can lose the mark if you don't watch what you're doing. When it comes to man's opinion and human's opinion, it don't matter. It's the word of God that counts. Amen. So we come together and we discuss the word of God. And here's my question. Why is it that when you pick a group of men to be rulers, elders, or whatever, or deacons, why is it is always odd? Y'all think about it. And that question come up in Brother Wilson Woodson, who is supposed to be a scholar. Amen. Of the Word of God. And they went and searched, and they done a research over in the India and Africa and all this kind of thing, and a whole lot of different places. to find out some things, and they brought back what they could pick up and learn. Over in the era where Jesus walked the earth and all this kind of thing, there was a lot of study and getting together on this question. And finally the question was that, well, I don't know where it matters or not, but this is what they come up with. They said, well, if you got one, there ought not be one elder. I guess it probably could be, but there ought not be. Now, I know y'all wondering why I say that. Because, you see, one will take authority. He might be a good man. That's all right. Good. I'm talking about the bed part. If he's the only elder, what he say, he thinks he's going to go, then nobody has to say. So he's going to do what he wants to do regardless what the Word of God said or not. They said that's how apostasy got started, brother. You had men that nobody could control. And they got too big for the old folks said their britches. And they got out of line. So, in essence, make a long story short, the seven, and we done a kind of deep study on that, it represents kind of a way of making a choice. There could be three. See, you can't get even men out of seven. Huh? Now, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about now. Y'all might want to throw me out after this. That's all right. But see, when it comes to the Word of God, you don't need somebody to tell you what to do. God tells you. Now, once that man learns the Word of God, he can tell you and those that don't know. He can teach those that don't know. But you are not teaching something that you come up with. You are teaching the Word of God. Uh-huh. So, the question finally remained and hung around. They said, well, when you come up with something that's not really a spiritual issue, yeah, listen to me now, that you use an odd number. If you got two against two, who's going to settle it? Huh? Especially if you got stubborn men. Now, George, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God. How to be fair with yourself and with people. People sometimes become unwise, sometimes dealing with the book. But the book is always right. It's never been wrong. When the wrong comes in, it's not the book, it's us not knowing how to use the book. Amen. Now I know I was in the Salina, Tennessee. And they asked me to preach on, I guess because my manner of teaching. They want me to talk about some things. So I went to Salina, Tennessee, and brought a gospel meeting, and it was a revival. Amen. They want me to teach on some issues up there that was going on. So I got up there and talked on those issues. Amen. And the sermon and wrote down, because I believe that people don't believe what you say. That's why I teach like I do. No, I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. Well, would you believe it if you read it? Well, it ain't in the Bible. That's us. That man, and I taught him some things that the other brother asked me to teach him, and that man got hot, got upset. And somebody, you know what somebody told Brother George, you better watch it. Because he brings his gun to church. See, don't think that everybody in the church is right. You know them by their doings. And they had a call, and I think I mentioned it before, they had a call of the police come down there one time because he got so disturbed and so ugly in the church that they had to take him to jail. See, that tells you what kind of person that guy is. I didn't call no names, man. But what I'm saying is, if a man is a child of God, what do you need the police for? Huh? Don't you see what I'm saying? We need to recognize that God is still in charge. I don't care what the Bible say. That was His Word. But the Word is always right. Amen. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse... Who was reading? You, Brother James. Well, go start over again, because I thought you done lost your thoughts what I was talking about. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. And I over you, see, I looked at the time, got to go on. Read.
And admonish
you. To esteem them very highly for the work's sake. Whoa, 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 whoa. I know it's good. That's like eating apple pie. It's good. Amen. But see, esteem them for the love of their work's sake. That's what church is supposed to do to our leaders. And let me say something to our leaders. Our leader is supposed to respect the church to the point where they will do all they can to make the church grow. Not because it's me and you, but it's because of God. See, we are examples. And that go to us preachers too. We do this because God said do it. Not because George said it. If George was talking tonight, I told you something else. It's easier to tell you a lie than it's the truth anyway. And most folk want to lie. Amen. Make them feel good better. Ain't that right? Hey, you know what I'm saying. But now, truth is the truth regardless of who gets it. We have some preachers who are not preached the truth to the church because of fear of getting fired. And I'll not be, brethren. Amen. And the second point is, if the eldership, even if they don't have no elders, the brethren who come together don't like a preacher to preach the truth because he preached the truth, going to fire a preacher because he taught the right thing, they're the one need to be fired. Amen. The Word of God is just right. And you got to learn to work together. It said, be at peace where? Among yourselves. A peaceful congregation will flourish, will grow, will come together, and you need to learn to work together. The more you got working, the less hassle you're going to have. Amen. You ever heard old people in old times say that when a wagon is loaded, it don't make a lot of wreckage? Huh? Now, y'all listen to what I'm saying. A loaded wagon, brother, don't... Some of you have driven, you. No? You live in the country? Well, I drove with you plenty of times. Yeah, I had one run away from me one time. I stuck that plow on the ground, run it up on the roof, and that mule fell down and grunting and cheeking and going on, wrapped itself up in a rope. That just scared me to death. I thought he was going to kill himself. He lay there a while and he stopped kicking and jumping. That's right, brother. After a while, he got so scared that he finally to give up. Then I start unwinding the rope around him. And all these kind of things. When I got rope off of him, he still lay there. He started still tied up. Amen. But you see, when a mule pull a wagon down a rough road, if it's loaded, you don't hear a lot of rattling going on. You know why? It's filled up. It's weighted down. Folks in the church need to be working. And you won't have so much grumbling going on. And fussing and griping. That ought not be. Amen. The church is a church who are supposed to be well-rounded, well-taught. A whole church. You see in Acts chapter 6 when those brethren came together and picked out those 7 men of good report and all that kind of thing, I believe you'll find in there that you said the whole place was pleased because they fixed this thing and cut out the grumbling and the murmuring. That's what we need to recognize, church, that God is always on time. He's right now. And sometimes, because being human and opinionated and all that kind of thing, we miss the mark. I know when I start straying, when I start doing, and I want to call this and call that, and I got to get on myself, George. Watch what you're doing. Huh? We need to look at ourselves. Everybody in here. I'm not talking about the people up here. I'm talking about the people up front too. And everybody in the audience. We need to look at ourselves. We need to build a better me. Huh? We need to build a better me. Sometimes we focus. It's not so bad to focus on other folks, but we need to focus on ourselves too. And see how I'm walking up. See how I'm coming up. Amen. The Word of God, God can fix it. Huh? If the fellowship is broken, God can fix it. If the love is not there, God can fix it. But you got to listen to Him. Is that not right? God can do all these things. Who was it said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? You see, when you listen to the Word of God, there's always that possibility that you're going to do right. And let me drop this, you know, being in the church, you know, of course, I want to make sure that you know for you, there's not but one church. Amen. Well, you mean one church, preacher? Well, there's not but one. How many Christs were there? Huh? We got as many churches as we got Christ. Let me drop that now. Because, see, Jesus said up on this rock, said it last night, I will build my church. Yes, the hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Somebody said, well, now, Brother King, you got that all wrong now, Brother George, because I read over in the book of Revelation, there were seven churches. I've been told that. Well, now, let me tell you something. In Asia, there were seven churches. But there wasn't a different kind of seven churches. There was the same church in different locations. Amen. Well, how you know? Well, John talked about the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. I ain't gonna bother nobody. Amen. We were singing a few moments ago. We sung from this book. The young man, Brother Carr, the leading singer, he gave a number. Is that not right? I want you to understand this now. So when he gave the number, all the rest of you pick up your book and open it up. Went to page so-and-so. And everybody was singing the same words. Now, let me ask you a question. Are these books different? Or are they the same book? Huh? How you know they're the same book? Because they got the same thing in it, Brother Jordan. Is that right? You see, if they were different books, you got one and I got one and you got one, you pick up and start singing, my book wouldn't have the song you were singing because it's a different book. I guess you can understand that. The Word of God is right. Amen. So when Jesus talked about the seven golden candlesticks, He was talking about the same churches that were spread out in Asia Minor. Amen. Different locations in different places. They're like the church here. There's a church here at East Moore Street. There's a church down there at Bellevue. There's a church over in Atlanta. There's a church at High Washington. There's a church at Browntown. There's a church at Lane Street. There's a church at Elm Street. Those churches, y'all don't know nothing about. But I do. But they're the same. Because how are they the same? Because they teach the same doctrine. There's not but one doctrine. You can't be the same church Amen. And teach different doctrines. Amen. Somebody said, well, what about faith? Faith comes from the Word of God. But now let me say something. 1 Timothy 4:1. For the Spirit, y'all want to jot that down, go study. For the Spirit speaketh expressly or plainly that in the latter days, what's going to happen? Some shall depart from the faith. Wait a minute. How are you going to depart from something if every faith is all right? You go from one faith to another, from one to another. It don't make no difference which faith you got. For all of them's all right. No, no, that's not what he said. When you leave the teaching out the word of God, you're leaving to the faith of God. Because Romans 8:10, the faith is the word of God. Faith come by hearing when you listen to the word of God. Now, so when God comes back, he's going to send his angels into the church. Amen. What church? The church that he died for. What church? Church that he built. How did he build it? Not with hammer and wood. No blocks. No cement. But he done it by the blood of his body that was shed on the cross. Died in the heart of the earth. Stayed. Rose. A conquering Savior of the world. Ascended back into heaven. Sitting on the right hand of the Father. Waiting for the time when God see fit. I don't know when it's going to be. People have been saying, well, next year God coming back. Christ, you. How do you know when he's coming? Huh? I picked up books, even on television, newspapers. They said, well, Jesus will be back in so and so year. They just lying. They don't know. Even Jesus himself don't know. Only God knows. And why do we want to teach a false doctrine like that, thinking that we know when God has not revealed when he's going to come back? All he said, I'll be back. Romans 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me for what? In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not told, I would have told you, I'll go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming back. But I don't know. You don't know either. Amen. Nobody knows. So that's false doctrine. When Jesus talked about his church represents, or is not represent, is his body. Ephesians 4:1. Huh? Talks about the deity first, one Lord. Is that right? Then he talks about the body. How many bodies? One. Talking about the spirit. How many spirits? One. Talking about the faith. How many faiths? One. Why is this so much dealing with one? Because there's one Lord, there's one God, there's one Son, there's one Spirit. Amen. And there was one word that God taught. And everybody in the world got to listen to that same word. The Word of God is right. Church, we've got a lot of work to do. Because we need to stand up and teach the Word of God, just like it is. Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, you are the salt. Who? You. Me. You. You. All of y'all. Salt. Well, what about those sitting in the back? Ladies, don't fool yourself. You're in a cup of pepper, you salt too. You are the salt. Well, what's salt good for? It's for seasoning. Make things taste good or better. Amen. Physically. in the physical sense. There's somebody going to overdo it. Amen. I mean, our blood pressure run up and all this. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But Jesus said, if the salt, that's us, has lost its savior, what's it good for? Huh? Now, he's not so much a dealing on the salt physically. He's making a parable or an example to us. What are we good for if we lost our influence? That's what he's talking about. What are we good for? If everybody see me and they're going to run from me, what am I good for? If people see you walking on the street and they're going to walk around you, what you good for? I know y'all didn't know I was coming this way, but that's all right. What are we good for? Huh? We ought to be like honey to the bee. Did you hear what I said? You put a bottle of glass, a bucket of honey out there, Brother Simmons, and after a while, just leave it there for a while. First thing you know, bees will be all over that bucket. Why? It has something that the bee loves. Huh? You know what Jesus said? Y'all. Jesus said, Brother Willie, Jesus said, if I be lifted up. What are you saying? Jesus said, if I act right, and do right, and behave myself right, and talk right, and pray right, amen, and read right, and treat people right, I'll be lifted up. God don't lie to nobody. Amen. So it's in us to make a judgment call. And we got to look at ourselves to see where we stand in the sight of God. Amen. You know, some have got power and don't know it. Time's almost up, but I want somebody to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Y'all look at me sometimes like I'm strange. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. And the verses is, well, 26 and 27. Let me see if I'm right. The Lord shall be thy comforter. For keep thy foot. See, God is our comforter. He give us a way to be able to stand right. And not sliding about and around. So to speak. You know what I'm saying? Read on, Brother James. Oh, wait a minute now. He says, now, God said, withhold not good to them to whom it is due. Now watch this. Now, in order for you to give somebody something, you first got to have it. Huh? And then to have the authority to give it away, you got to have the power of it. Y'all know what I'm saying? You see, at home, I'm the only one left at home now. My kids all live in Nashville. And I live in the house, and I've been talking to some people right now about my estate, my place. Amen. I say something happened to me and I have to go to the nursing home and they keep me for a long time, my place is going to be gone. Y'all may not think about stuff like that. All my kids ain't about to die but me. They come up and visit, but they don't live there. They all live in Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm thinking now, and I done talked to one man how to fix this. So when I'm gone, when something happened to me, that the kids would get my place. In order to do that, I got to have some kind of power. Huh? Don't you get what I'm talking about? My daughter said, well, Daddy said, years ago, said, Mama wrote out a little something, and she signed it. Giving us the power of attorney. Watch it, P-O-W-E-R. I said, well, that's all right. But... You see what I'm saying? But, as smarter than some of these lawyers are right now, that little paper, that little signature ain't gonna mean nothing. Why? Cause it ain't notarized. Y'all looking at me strange. Y'all looking at me strange. It's not notarized. It's gotta be certified before it'll hold and it die you. Don't y'all hear what I'm saying? So Solomon says now, what you can do, and it's in the power of your hands, do it. Is it not right? So sometimes, brother, you got to remember one thing. Sometimes, brother, can do a lot of stuff. We got the power to do it. We may not exercise our power enough to bring the church where it needs to be. Leave it along the way. You're going to have some members who are weaker than others, who are stronger than others, who are not as committed as others, but it's our job to try to bring them in and try to teach them the right way and the good way. That's right. We got to make some good judgment called Jeremiah chapter 5. I wish I could get on that, but time is up already. But you know there's a lot of stuff we need to learn to do, and it's within our power to do it. Amen. But see, God expects us to lead the church where it needs to be. Bring everybody together. And when some fall, you need to go out there and lift them up. Talk to him. Be happy. Give him some encouragement or her some encouragement to come on. There's a big devil out there and people are falling right in his hands. They don't mean to a lot of times, but they do. And some of you that's already older, getting gray-headed like me, you might put on a good front, but you already know about it. You know what it's like out there. So you're going to need all the help you can get to keep folks in the church. One brother said one time, the church is a spiritual hospital for those that are sick. Huh? It is. People got trouble, they'll be able to come to the Lord's house. People having difficulties in their life and not living right, they ought to be able to come here and get some consolation for what the church is all about. Spiritually sick. When I get physically sick, I go to Riverport Hospital. And there I hope, amen, that they're going to take care of me, give me the right medicine, give me some kind of stuff to energize me. Amen. Pick me up. Make me walk again. Make me strong again. Make me alive again. The church is that kind of thing. And the community of Dublin, Tennessee. It's the church job. Amen. To bring people, revive them when they're down. Pick them up when they're fallen. Heal them when they've been sick. That's what Jesus is all about. The Word of God, the Gospel. Amen. Man told me one time, closing at this, said if a man out there on the street and he can't hardly walk, he's so hungry, he said, don't go out there and put the Gospel down his throat. He'll love to hit you in the head. You know why? He's hungry. Hungry folk can't hardly think. Amen. His stomach growling and cutting up and talking to him. Amen. He feel like his throat done been cut. But you go out there and feed him. Give him some food. Then you talk to him. You'll see his eyes come alive. Strength begin to reveal. He'll be able to sit down and pay some attention. Is that not right? His stomach not hurting no more. That's how you treat a man. You take an old wild dog. You see, God fixed his thing and come to your house and you mean to him, go out the door, he'll take off. You shut the door, peep out the window, he's back out there sniffing and smelling. You know what he's looking for? A crumb of bread. Anything. But I'll tell you what you can do to that dog, brother. Go out there. Come on, boy. Take him a chicken leg. If you get there with it. Take him a chicken leg! Hey! You know what? Before he gets it, he's gonna back up. He'll look at you and he'll say, come on, boy, come on, boy. He's still back up. Come on. He'll stop in a few minutes. You say, come on. He'll try to bite it and then he'll jump back. Oh, I done been there. He done it. And after a while, you keep on talking to him. Keep on encouraging him. He'll find it. Bite at it. Grab it and run off and eat it. Get you another one. He gonna come up here and get it. See, the church. Y'all look at me like, that's what the church is supposed to be. It's an institution that can draw people, the sick folk, spiritually sick, and bring them to the Lord's house. Let them obey the gospel. Baptize them. And let God add them to the church. Then you teach them. You train them to be faithful, committed, righteous people for the Lord. And if you're here tonight, God's word's ready. The water is ready. These brethren are ready. All they need now is that you be ready to walk down the aisle and put Christ on in baptism. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It could be, but I hope not, but it could be that one of us in here tonight may not live to see tomorrow morning. And it could be me. I don't feel like it, but it could be me. You don't feel like it, but it could be you. Why not come by hearing the word of God? Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Rise up from a new creature in Christ Jesus. Live faithfully unto death. Then heaven can and will be your home if you commit yourself to the word of God. While we stand and sing the song of invitation.